Yo, what up? This is Andrew, aka Goose from Comeback Kid. You're checking out The Grind PRC with Stacey Steele. Do it up.
Jimmy from Knucklehead, you're checking out The Grind with Stacey Steele.
Lord, you make it to a baby car, drive you around night long. A couple cigarettes and a coffee go well with the road and your favorite song.
Hey, hello, this is Chris from the Flatliners, and you're checking out The Grind on PRC with Stacey Steele.
Hey, what is up? This is Chris, and you've loaded up The Grind 143. Today, we've got conversations with three great Canadian bands coming at ya. Our very own Stacey Steele recently talked with Andrew from Comeback Kid, James from Knucklehead, and Chris from the Flatliners about each of the band's current goings-on. From helping to create a Cuban punk rock scene, to reaching 10-year milestones, new albums, and vinyl reissues, there's a lot of good shop talk in Volume 143 of The Grind PRC. We are just going to have the three interviews and music from those bands in this volume, because there's a lot of good talk and rock to fill up today's time slot. We'll be getting back to the From the Mailbox features in upcoming shows, so stay tuned for those. Up first, Comeback Kid, from their 2010 Symptoms and Cures release, Balance.
Yeah! Stacey Steele for the Grind PRC, and I'm in Calgary talking to Andrew from Comeback Kid. How are you this evening?
Good, you?
I'm doing very well. You guys have had a lot of changes recently, but before we sort of dive into that, you've had a heavy tour load this year, being on the road. You recently wrapped a handful of North American dates out east supporting fellow Manitoban heavyweights Propagandhi. How was that run of dates?
It was pretty cool. Like, for us, for Comeback Kid, Propagandhi's like our pretty much like collective like favorite band. As fans of them, we were very, very stoked to be on the tour. And the tour was really good for us. I mean, it was cool. It was definitely a different kind of audience than usual for us. Mm-hmm. But it was cool. We were playing to a lot of new people, you could tell. A lot of older people. Like, mm-hmm. their crowd was a little bit older. And so, no, you know, it was a pretty cool thing to do. And we got to see them play every night, so we were pretty stoked on that. And they chose some really cool cities to make that happen. So. Mm-hmm.
Was it inspiring to share the stage with them?
We toured with them in Japan once.
Yeah.
We're really influenced by them in one way, but we do such a different thing than them. So it's inspiring, cool to see them do it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we just do our own thing.
The current tour you've begun in Canada started recently in Victoria. How was that been so far? And how did Backtrack and Expire hop on this tour? And why did you pick those two bands to join you as support?
We've tried to tour with Backtrack, I think, in the past before. In my opinion, Backtrack and Expire are two of the best up-and-coming hardcore bands. I wouldn't say, like, my favorite necessarily, but they're up there as far as, like, the new bands that in hardcore that I think are really cool. So, mm-hmm. So they did it, and our friend Bailey actually books them, mm-hmm. so that worked out really good. And we started the tour in Seattle, and then went to Victoria, which took like ages to get to. It was supposed to be a 3-hour drive, but it took us 13 hours because Jeremy decided to say there were 6 people instead of 8 people at the what's it called?
Border.
No, not the border. At the boat stop. What is it called?
Ferry.
At the ferry checkpoint.
Okay.
Where you like pay for?
Yeah, I think okay. Ferry checkpoint. Yeah, at the stop.
Fuck this.
Sorry.
Anyways, I don't know where I left off, but yeah,
that's how it happened.
It all happened. It all happened. Yeah, it all happened really naturally.
Bailey helps you out, and he does booking down in Seattle, does he not?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, they're doing really well. Both Expire and Backtrack haven't played Western Canada ever before, so. It's. I think kids are really excited, and I think they're doing well. We've kind of just kind of gotten in the grind a little bit more now. Like, it's only like a few days in, so mm-hmm. Yeah.
So far, so good. They're enjoying it.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I don't think they like the bar shows that we've been doing this tour as bar shows. I don't think they like not doing all ages shows as much. But we decided to try it out this run, so that's what it is.
Adults only. I heard Kyle, the drummer, he posted some stuff about the on tour drum lessons with Band Happy for this Canadian run. I understand he's meeting up with people before some of the shows. How did he come up with that idea? Do you know anything about that?
I think he learned about it through this guy, Dave Nassy. He played in like Bleeding Through and No Use for a Name. He lives kind of close to, Kyle lives in California now, mm-hmm. and he lives kind of close to him there.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Dave does this Band Happy thing, which is like teaching. I think he does like online teaching of guitar or whatever, and then they do it on tour sometimes too, so I guess Kyle just, he's always wanted to like teach, and I think he's tried to get into that before, but it's kind of hard when you're on tour all the time, so
totally.
It's just kind of a cool thing for people who want to like get drum lessons, they can come beforehand if there's room at the show for him to set up his drums and stuff like that.
But. Yeah, totally. That's really cool. I think that's such a great idea. I understand you guys did some live off the floor recording a couple of nights ago in Vancouver, a song or two from every record from Rain City Records with Stu, is that right?
That is correct.
He's a good, I was there a month ago, I saw a precursor, and I saw his band, and he told me about his studio and everything, so tell me a little bit about what went down there.
Rain City is like a really, really cool studio. It's an awesome area in Vancouver, Stu just has built up something really cool there. We've heard a whole bunch of his stuff before. I guess Living with Lions did like an in-studio thing with him that their friend Cody filmed. And then another band did something, and I heard both of those, and they both sounded really cool. So they haven't released it yet, but they're trying to like set up this like kind of like a Rain City Sessions kind of like, he wants to have something that comes out every once in a while with different bands that come through. And they have people filming it slash get like a nice recording live. live, and mm-hmm. people were like, you know, when we did it, 20 or 30 of our friends came out and, like, you know, drinking beer. Yeah, just chilling out, whatever.
What a great experience.
Yeah, so it's just like a cool little thing for us to have, like, online. If it turns out better than ever, if it turns out really good, then maybe we can, like, do something more with it. But
maybe put on a compilation or something like that?
You never know. Just, it's just nice to have, like, those kind of extra things, and Stu really, like, hooked us up and made it happen for us. So.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Magnet Pull.
Recent change in your lineup was Casey departing, and joining the band was Stu Ross from Living with Lions, Misery Signals. How has Stu added to the transition and dynamics of your band?
Well, we haven't really, like, started playing, like, newer songs with him yet, but he's a better guitar player than me and Jeremy and any of our previous guitar players. Like, that, not to put anyone down, but he's a really good guitar player, and he's really, he kind of brings the tightness into on the table. So I don't know, yeah, it's good, and he's super motivated. It's, you know, it's like, it was sad to see Casey leave, but he was just kind of over the touring thing, and Stu coming in, he's excited about it.
It's a really good fit.
Yeah,
like, I can't really imagine anyone else, but when you announced that he was going to be coming in to Comeback Kid, I thought, I couldn't imagine anyone else doing that besides him, and it's a really good fit.
We've toured with him so much, and, like, we're good friends, and he almost joined the band, like, 4 or 5 years ago, too. Like, there's some weird stages in that where he almost wanted to join, but then he's like, oh, no, I can't. And he claims that we're one of his favorite bands of all time, so...
Yeah.
Here it is, and we get along with him well. It's just nice to have, like, he's super knowledgeable, and he has, like, really great ideas, but he's also super stoked, and, like, it's, like, nice to have, like, a fresh kind of, like, vibe on things, you know, coming to the band, so.
Absolutely. It's also been revealed in an interview that I read that former vocalist Scott Wade may join the band next year for some of the shows to commemorate the 10-year anniversary of your band, which is pretty cool, at the Rebellion Fest with Madball, is that right?
Actually, no, the Madball Rebellion tour, that is
just separate?
That is a separate tour. We're doing that as current comeback hit.
Yeah.
After maybe like a month after. Sorry, we're in a
nightclub, so we apologize to the listeners out there.
After the Rebellion tour, like a month later in April, we're going to go out and do this festival in Belgium called Groesrock.
Yeah.
And we're going to do about 10 days around that with Scott singing. And then we're also going to do a few North American shows, but nothing announced yet. The only thing that we were allowed to announce yet right now is this Groesrock festival. So we're going to play, it's like my favorite festival. It's Comeback Kid's best festival that we do. And it's just really fitting that for Europe to kind of base, if we're going to do a few shows around there, we might as well base around our favorite festival.
Absolutely.
So we're not going to tour, we're just going to do like a few shows here and there.
Yeah, that sounds really good.
It's just going to be like a Turn It Around. Our first record came out in 2003, so
we're going to mark that sort of
it's the anniversary of that record coming out and us starting to tour, and we're going to play songs that Scott sang on Turn It Around and Wake the Dead, and then I'm going to play guitar again, because for anyone who doesn't know, yeah, I used to play guitar.
Off of 2003's Turn It Around, Step Ahead.
Band will do like a special tour or do the festival thing, like what you guys are planning on doing with Scott Wade, playing songs from one or two prominent albums in your career. A lot of albums that bands talk about bring memories back, and they enjoy making those albums from that time. Will that stretch of dates next year bring back an element of nostalgia for you as well as the fans, do you think, going to those shows? And the second part of that question is, will they be full album shows of Turn It Around and Wake the Dead?
They won't be full album shows. They'll be like the songs that we think are the best songs from each record. With albums and like with punk rock and hardcore and stuff, I think especially with those genres, music comes to people and it like really hits you because of the time and place. And like I have records that I hold on to, you know, and maybe the band will be something totally different later on, but there's just like those records that everyone holds on to and they have those memories from, especially in high school and like just getting into punk and stuff like that. Stuff that sticks with you forever, even like some of the stuff that I don't listen to anymore, you know, those songs stick with me forever, and that's a really special thing. And I think that you know, it was just a really cool time when Comeback Kid first started, and then we still love playing those songs, and the concept of this band has stayed true from when we started until now. I think everything's kind of gone as planned, so it's, yeah, I don't know, it'll be cool. And to be real, like, I'm best friends with Scott. He's been really wanting to play some shows. I'm sure he misses it. Of course he misses it.
Getting the itch a little bit.
Yeah, of course he does. And I want to play guitar again. It's just going to be fun for us and the people who love, you know, the old Comeback Kid stuff. So
it's really exciting. I know the fans are really stoked. From the interview that I saw online about it, I thought, wow, that's awesome. Everyone's really excited. That is especially able to get to Groesrock to go see that, for sure.
Yeah, we'll be playing a couple other American shows and maybe one or two Canada shows.
You have the Australian Boys of Summer Tour coming up in January.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And the tour with Madball. Are you really stoked to play with Madball again? A couple of years ago, you toured with them in Canada with them and a Wilhelm Scream.
Yeah, I always love touring with Madball. Yeah. They're the best hardcore band there is.
They're pretty tight. If no one's checked out a Madball show, I definitely highly recommend it. I also want to talk about the side projects, Sights and Sounds, Low Talker, Figure Four, all those kinds of things. I know Stu does Honest Living Designs, and I know Jeremy does some stuff with the Vegan Cartel. Would you be able to elaborate a little bit on those other projects? I know that you're with Sights and Sounds, but...
Just like Honest Living and Vegan Cartel?
Yeah, are you able to tell us a little overview on those things?
Stu does Honest Living, which is like a design company. He does graphic design for bands and different things, and he has... That's kind of like the name of his company, Honest Living. Vegan Cartel is a clothing company, as of now, started by Jeremy, our tour manager, Tanner, and Bailey, who I mentioned before. He's the entrepreneur, Bailey.
Yeah.
Bailey has a screen printing company called Overcast Prints, so he just kind of like got Tanner and Jeremy involved in this kind of, in this Vegan Cartel, because they're all vegan, and they love being vegan, so all the power to them. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
What's coming up next for Sights and Sounds?
We've just been working on some demos that we may or may not release, depending on how they finish, how they turn out. But I'm at the, like, 90% on, like, maybe, like, 5 to 10 songs with the band right now, with some recordings that I've been working on. It's really kind of, like, Comeback Kid's been so busy, so I get home for, like, a week, and then it's, like...
You've been a touring machine this year, that's for sure.
Yeah. Just do it. Well, I've had some time off, but, like, it's, you know, when you get home and you're trying to get in like, continuous vibe with different projects, sometimes it's kind of crazy when you're traveling a lot, so it's just taking its time.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there anything else that you would like to add to our little interview here on PRC?
I think I'm all good.
You're good. You can get a copy of Comeback Kid's latest release, Symptoms and Cures, available to order online on Shop Radio Cast, comebackkid.com, and iTunes. It's been a pleasure. Thanks
again. Good questions.
Yes, you're very welcome.
Wait for someone to say
GM Vincent and I, another cut off of Comeback Kid Symptoms and Cures album, going back to 1998 for this album from Calgary's Knucklehead, off Little Boots, an album originally put out on Far Out Records and then re-released in 2003 by Longshot Music. This is The Kids Are Alright.
Stacey Steele. I'm in Calgary and I'm talking to James Gamble, the guitarist in Knucklehead. How are you this evening?
Good, how's it going, Stacey?
Very good, thanks. We're in a little bit of a nice cozy pub. We're both awaiting a show that we're both going to go see tonight. Pretty excited to go check it out. It's been about 2 years since we last got an update on Knucklehead, so you guys are going to be hitting some shows next month in BC and Alberta in support of the Flatliners 10 Years at Sea Tour. Could you tell us how that all came about? I know that you guys are also going to be doing some shows with Slates as well, right?
Yeah, Slates is on the tour for the Alberta shows too, which is good. They've been around for a long time in other forms of bands, so we're buddies with them. It's actually a pretty fun lineup. It's like lots of old pals kind of playing shows together.
How did you actually get on with that? Onto that tour?
We have mutual friends with the Flatliners. We don't know them super well. I met Chris a few times, but I'm good friends with one of his roommates in Toronto, and she's always kind of talking up my bands, which is nice. So we kind of got a call from Adam, their booking agent, and asked if we wanted to do these three shows with them. We were pretty stoked to be able to do it.
Radar a little bit, especially with this tour coming up. You also recently released a 7-inch via Pirates Press, the same label that houses Cox Bear and other really great bands. How did you come to release this vinyl with them? And tell us about the vinyl. I haven't even heard it yet.
I should have brought you one, actually. We've talked with Pirates Press in the past. We have a mutual friend, Mike Joe from Longshot Records, who we've worked with Longshot for a long time, like a good 10 years.
Are you still doing stuff with them or planting?
I think our last release with Longshot was a Hostage Life Knucklehead 7-inch split. Yeah. So, oh no, that's not true. Longshot did Knucklehead's vinyl release for Hearts on Fire. So we've known Mike for a long time, and Mike lives in San Francisco now. He works for Pirates Press, the vinyl broker. So there's two sides to Pirates Press. There's the punk rock label, and then there's the vinyl broker. So Mike got us in touch with Eric, who does Pirates Press, the punk rock label. And while they were pressing the Hearts on Fire album, we kept getting emails from
from Eric saying that he really loved the record and he plays it at the shop like 24/7, and to let us know when we want to do something and we'll do it together. So that's kind of how it came about.
How many songs are on it?
Just two songs. Yeah, we recorded three, but we could only fit two on, one on each side. Just
what are the names of the songs?
Riots and Tears, and I don't even know the other one.
No,
we often have different names for the songs as we're playing them and recording them. Then when we put them out, they're often different, so I never really know what the songs are called on the actual record.
Who did the artwork for your this final 7-inch?
We did it in-house. We usually do all that stuff in-house. Clay, our guitar player, is a graphic designer, so he handled that.
Nice. Good old DIY. You, as well as other members of Knucklehead, also belong to a few other projects. The Poison Pens, yep. The Mandates, Pagans of Northumberland, and is it true you recently joined Chicks Spigot?
I've been...
Congratulations on that one.
Yeah, thank you very much. I joined Chicks, I think about last March, I think. Yeah. So that's been fun. I'm learning a lot with those guys. Yeah.
You play drums in that band?
I play bass in that band.
Bass.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about the other projects that the other members are involved with.
Eric, our drummer, is also in a band called Poison Pens, which is a pretty cool band. I guess they're about 6 months, 8 months in.
And they're based here in Calgary.
Yeah, they're based here in Calgary. They're just a bunch of cool dudes in that band. Joe Ramirez, who also plays in Falcons, is in that band. And Robin McIntyre, who plays in Dojo, is also in the band. So, yeah, they're pretty fun dudes. And Clay's new band, I think they're playing their first show at New Year's at Burns. And I'm doing the Mandates, which has been also really good. We're doing the Palomino anniversary, so that's going to be really fun.
What about this Pagans of Northumberland? I just kind of stumbled upon that.
Yeah, it's Clay's new project. Clay used to be in a band called The Disruptors years and years ago, and he's playing with a couple of those guys again.
Culture and arts here in Calgary, James. You lend a hand in a project with Solidarity Rock, which is based in Edmonton. You toured Cuba at the beginning of 2012 this year, along with Slates and Knucklehead and Vancouver garage bike band called Vicious Cycles. In the process, you helped bring across a band called Arabio to tour Canada. How did that all come about? How did you get involved with Solidarity Rock? And tell us a little bit about Arabio. I'm really interested to hear about about it?
Solidarity Rock is a super, super cool project. A guy named Drew McIntyre in Edmonton started it 4 or 5 years ago. It was about a year ago. I was in Vancouver at my friend Tim's place. He plays guitar in Vicious Cycles. And me and Tim and Rob, the bass player, we were all up on Tim's roof looking out at the ocean. And Rob mentioned this thing that his buddy, because Rob's from Edmonton and he's known Drew for a long time. So he's like, yeah, my friend Drew is doing this crazy thing, Solidarity Rock. And he raises money and he brings gear to Cubans who can't have gear. And he books bands. You can do a tour. And it's like this thing. And I really, really want to do it. We're kind of up there humming high. And I was like, well, if you guys do it, I want to come. And he's like, all right, let's plan this. So within like 2 weeks, I get a call from Rob. And he's like, all right, January 10th, do you want to go? And I was like, yeah, I want to go. So I didn't really know much about it, but I looked into it, and it might be the coolest thing I've ever done or gotten to do or help out with. So I went with Vicious Cycles just as an extra hand. I used to live in Vancouver, and I played in the band for a little bit, and they're my best buds. I think they're the best guys in the world. So we all went down there, kind of not knowing really what to expect, and we were greeted at the airport by his band, Rabio, who turned out to be like the coolest, nicest guys on earth. And we've all brought tons of gear, and we're able to like donate a bunch of gear and stuff, and we did a 10-day tour with them.
I heard that a pack of strings here is about 10, 20 bucks, and you go down there, it's like 100 or 200.
It's
obviously for the shipping reasons and the way Cuba is.
It's not. It's often not even that it's expensive, it's that it doesn't exist. Like, Cuba doesn't have a consumer society at all. Like, they have things based on needs. So people just, like, if you need things, they're available and they're expensive. But there's not a lot of McQuaid in Cuba. There's not a place to go buy guitar strings or a guitar or a patch cord or an amp or anything like that. There's nothing.
So everything is brought in by donation.
Yeah. Which is huge. And like, so what Drew has done, he brought his first band down and booked a tour, and they're called 7 and 7 Is. And he basically, from scratch, invented a touring circuit by default. And every tour after that has done better and better and better. And it's kind of, you know, punk rock and rock and roll is like a new thing there. Like, it was illegal to listen to rock and roll there until about, you know, 12 or 15 years ago. So it's still new, and you know, people don't have computers, so they don't have the internet, so they can't just download stuff. So they just don't know, like, what punk rock is. So it's like, they're really interested in this new thing called punk rock. So these bands from Canada come down and do these tours, and then every time you leave gear behind, a new band starts for the next band, and you meet all these new bands, and now there's actually like a touring circuit, and kids putting on shows and doing stuff that they didn't even know that you could do, or that was even actually like illegal a few years ago.
Oh, yeah.
So it's actually like,
it's pretty exciting, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, super exciting. Like, you basically like invent a touring circuit for punk bands. It's like a really, really crazy thing. It's like one of the last places in the world where it's like uncharted territory for punk rock.
I like the fact that it's very, it's not a want, consumer-driven industry. It's just very need, very family-oriented, very low-key. Cuba's so different, and I've always wanted to go there, and just, I've been really interested in this project. I've been reading up on it for about a year now, and I really wanted to talk to you about this, because I think it's really important for the musicians to understand what can be done, and what a few people gathered in a room or on by the river or the ocean can kind of think, hey, I wouldn't mind doing that. You get a little bit of an experience, a different country, meet some new people, you know, experience the culture as well as help them out, bring over instruments and gear where they can't even get that there. And I think that's really important, and it's a really good positive thing to spread to other musicians and people in the industry as well.
It's so good, and it really reminded me of like punk rock when I was a kid, where it's like, you know, you just use whatever you had to kind of make this thing that you had inside you, and you didn't know what it was, but you had to get it out. And to give people the tools to get that thing that they got out of them and create something positive is like a really, you know, fulfilling thing to do.
Are the musicians musicians that are excited about this?
Very, very excited.
Yeah.
It's so new. A Cuban musician usually means like you're a samba player, and like punk rock is just so out there. It's so new, and people are so curious. A lot of the shows, there wasn't just kids. There was like everybody from the neighborhood, young, really young kids, old people, anybody that just wanted to see what this thing is about, because it's not like they can just jump on YouTube and look, you know, watch a Clash video. They can't do that. So it's a really interesting thing to do.
Eye-opening, I bet, hey? Absolutely.
Another track from their Hearts on Fire release. This is Sense in Politics.
Playing in Cuba, what was it like, and how did fans react to Canadian punk rock? That was another question I had. And do you hope to go back again with Solidarity Rock, or with one of your bands, or with some friends, and promote more about Solidarity Rock, and maybe do some playing there as well?
Yeah, I would definitely like to go back with one of my bands for sure. And it's totally possible, and it takes a lot of work, and you gotta raise the funds yourself and all that. But again, those Arabio guys are so good and so hospitable and so helpful. You know, you are in a foreign country, and it is difficult, you know, to talk to people and to get around. And they're so helpful, and they never left us in the lurch at all. And
did their paperwork end up coming through for most of those shows?
They did. So they missed the first half of the tour, the Toronto to Winnipeg leg, just because it's
Winnipeg, though.
Eventually, yeah. They missed the first leg of the tour just because the paperwork didn't go through in time, but they did make it for the Edmonton shows in Calgary and then Vancouver. And then they ended up jumping on the Agnostic Front tour from Edmonton to Winnipeg. So it's awesome because
they are a hardcore bass band, so it's like playing.
And when we were on tour with them in Cuba, they did an Agnostic Front cover every night. That was their closing song. It's kind of, you know, so great that they could hook up with those guys, because I mean, in a weird way, it was kind of like those guys were almost like these fictitious figures that for somebody in Cuba, it's like it's impossible that you'll ever. I mean, it's hard enough to get your hands on the record, let alone picture or like meet them or go to a show or like whatever. So the fact that they just, it just all kind of happened to work out is amazing, and they were really, really excited. And it was awesome to be a part of bringing the first rock band from Cuba.
The first time that you know of that an actual rock band has been allowed to go and then come back.
Yeah. First time.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's like so groundbreaking. And who knows what it means after this, right? Like for them to, you know, lift that curtain and let a bunch of hardcore guys in a band. I mean, what they've been in a band long enough that it used to be illegal what they were doing. To jam, to write a hardcore song and play it just jam, in a jam space was illegal. So the fact that they kind of, they've been around long enough for it to come full circle to where they're allowed to leave their own country and, you know, jump on a tour like with Nos Front is like groundbreaking.
Absolutely.
Yeah, super cool.
Back to the regular part of the interview. The Canadian music scene is extremely fertile. Does this inspire you to be surrounded by so many quality artists and musicians, do you find, like just in Canada and in the city itself? Because you know probably most of the city, I imagine. So does it really inspire you to keep playing music and doing what you do and helping others?
I really, really love the Canadian music scene and the Calgary music scene specifically. There's so many good people doing awesome stuff. And I feel so privileged to be a part of this scene and get to, you know, be a part of so many cool bands and play so many cool shows, and to be able to leave Calgary and play shows in, you know, Vancouver and Edmonton and Toronto and Ottawa, and like have buddies in every town doing amazing things, and like really good stand-up dudes making really phenomenal records. This summer, Mandate's got to play a bunch of shows with Needles Pins, and I was just blown away every night. Like, they were just the nicest, coolest dudes on earth making, like the 1234 record is just, like, mind-blowing. So, so good. So it's like, there's these pockets of people in this country that are just, like, making records that are better than anybody's right now, I think. And it's so fun to, like, go end-to-end constantly and, like, just, you know, meet people and hang out. And, you know, Steve Adamick is another guy. He was up for Sled Island. Like,
I saw him for the first time at Sled Island, and I didn't interview him, but I thought, there's a guy I definitely want to see again. Steve Adamick Band, right?
Yeah, great guys. Like, Steve used to help book Knucklehead shows and put us up in Ottawa, like, 10 years ago, 12 years ago. And he's always been in a bunch of bands, and, like, you know, everything kind of comes full circle all the time, so it's like, Steve's in this great band, and Canada, it's not a big country, so, I mean, it's a giant fucking country.
Oh, yeah.
But the scenes are really small, but it's really easy to go from city to city and hang out with everybody and play shows.
I think Canada's like a big family, an extended family. Everyone kind of knows everyone, and everyone remembers and talks about it, and as a reporter and an interviewer, I see that a lot, and I hear bands talk about other bands, and the other bands probably have no idea they're talking about them, but they just show a lot of love and respect and gratitude with bands they've toured with or shared the stage with, or even just helped out with a show. And I think that's really important, that there's a huge thing in Canada that happens that may not happen anywhere else. Things like Solidarity Rock, where you didn't have to do what you did, but you're like, this is really cool, and I'd like to be a part of it, and maybe my band can too. And I think things like that help musicians and bands grow, and I think it's more of a positive thing than some places that you go to where people try and one-up one another and try and, it's different here, and I really like the fact that it's really positive, a positive mental attitude.
Totally. It's super punk rock. It's like, shitty people get squeezed out, which is something I really like. I think, yeah, and it's, if you want to be a rock star, if you want to be, that's your thing, like, you're going to get squeezed out real fast, which is awesome. I really like that. If you want to, like, have a good time and make good records and, you know, meet other cool bands, like, Canada's a really, really great place to do that. Really, really great right now, especially.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what it is about right now, but, like, there's lots of good bands right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And everybody's working real hard, too, which is good.
Stop
Nicholas Hart.
How has Knucklehead's shows changed over the years, and has your perspective on performing live changed at all?
Knucklehead, we had to change the gears a little bit. Kyle moved to Pittsburgh, so he's been there for about 2.5 years. He's coming home this summer, so in about 6 months, 8 months.
Is he going to school there?
No, he works for an oil company, and he had a 3-year contract to work in Pittsburgh. Kyle's a biologist, so he works in the environmental sector. So he was setting that up over there. So he's coming home soon. So we kind of had to figure out a different way to keep our band going and keep things interesting. It's been challenging, but it's been super good, and we've kind of grown a lot from it. So as opposed to just, booking a local show whenever we want and kind of doing that, we got to plan like 3-4 months in advance. When we write songs, it's really different now too, because the band will write songs and demo them and send them to him, and he'll write lyrics, and then we'll fly him out, and we won't hear them until he's actually recording them. It's like, it's challenging, but I'm really happy with how it's turned out. Like, I think we're actually, in a weird way, writing the best songs we've ever written. I think it's because we're, we gotta work that much harder at it. So, I think some bands probably could have imploded, and just, they're Kyle's with me, our main guy in the band, and having him gone is hard, but it's like, we're super committed to this. We're about 18 years into the band.
And it's only until another, not even half a year,
So we're coming up on 20-year anniversary. And I know every band thinks that what they're doing currently is always the best thing that they've done, but I really do believe that we're writing the best songs and playing the best shows we've ever played. I couldn't believe our Republic show for our release. We sold out the Republic, which I never thought we could do.
It's a big venue.
Yeah, and I'm super proud of that, and I'm super stoked, and our Calgary fans are pretty much the best people around. I really, really love playing here.
Once you see
him,
you can't just stop. It's like, that's it.
Yeah.
You're hooked in.
So. We have no reason to stop. Like, we've made it work this long, and I think we'll just continue to, we do things slower now, but I think we're doing better quality work and better quality records and songs and better quality shows. And
you're taking the time rather than just rushing it out because the kids want something else. You're taking your time and doing
it. Taking our time and doing it as well as we can. And I'm really happy that a label like Pirates Press picked us up, because I think that they can tell that, and it's like really exciting for us to be on the same label as Coxfire and Rancid and Bounce of Souls, and it's a really big deal for us. And it makes us feel pretty good about, doing almost 40 years of punk rock and not falling off everybody's radar and just kind of becoming that band that used to be kind of cool. It's really nice for things to constantly get better for us. Yeah.
It's been a pleasure speaking with you this evening. It's been a real eye-opening experience, and I really enjoyed it. I like talking to you about all of your projects as well as all the other things on the go with Knucklehead and with Solidarity Rock, and it's a pleasure as always. Any final words for our listeners?
Yeah, thank you, Stacey. You've always been very supportive of all my bands, and I love talking to you. So.
Well, thank you very much.
Bigger Bombs for a Better Tomorrow.
Gotta get by. We're getting it done, but it's operating.
That was DNR from another band who will be playing along in Alberta with the Flatliners. That was Edmonton Slates. We are already at our last interview of the program, but we've still got lots of great music and talk coming your way. Stacey and Chris from the Flatliners. But first, a song that also appears on their Destroy to Create album, but this cut is off their 2002 demo, the Flatliners, Gullible.
Holy mother of God, he's flatlining!
This is Stacey Steele. You're checking out The Grind PRC, and I am talking over the phone to Chris from the Flatliners. How's it going this evening?
Hello, good. I'm sitting in my bedroom, drinking a beer, listening to reggae music, talking on the phone.
Oh, it sounds like a nice evening planned ahead for you.
Yeah. Chris, really, really mellow one.
Oh, absolutely. Those are the best sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, first off, on behalf of The Grind, we want to say a happy 10th anniversary to you guys on the Flatliners from Punk Radio Cast and Chris, Mark, and I on The Grind.
Thank you very much.
How does it feel to pass the 10-year mark this year?
It's great. It's kind of weird, to be honest. We're all very excited about it. Just none of us can really believe that it's already been that long. It's a weird thing, too, because, maybe just an interesting thing, because the four of us have known each other for so long, even before the band started. So, I mean, the fact that the band's been around for 10 years means that Scott and I have known each other for about 21 years, and we're all 25 years old, so it's insane. But, it's really a cool thing.
Ooh, yes. And that birthday party, I see, involves the 10 Years at Sea tour.
Totally.
You guys are spending December here in Canada for the 10 Years at Sea tour, and that stretch of dates has you playing stops between Vancouver and Quebec City with some great bands that we've interviewed and talked to on the grind, like Polar Bear Club, the Menzingers, and some other grind favorites, Knucklehead and Carpenter. How did this tour come about, and why did you choose these bands as your support?
About an 8-hour drive, so it wasn't so bad. And we're thinking, yeah, we could do like a really quick kind of thing in December, to like a little week-long thing to celebrate our 10th anniversary and go back to some cities that we just played with Lagwagon, which we did in October.
Yeah.
Visit those cities in December and play a bit of a longer set and celebrate our 10th anniversary in a really debaucherous and egocentrical way. and then we started to think, really, just kind of fuck it, like let's just do all we can. At the same time, we weren't able to get in a van and do a cross Canada tour at that time of year. Family obligations around the holidays and people working when they're home, and the fact that we've been on tour a lot this year, more so than we thought we would be, really, to begin with, prevented us from doing an entire thing, which is unfortunate because it leaves out Central Canada from Saskatchewan, Manitoba, and even further east as far as the Maritimes go. So we apologize to everyone there. It was never really our intention. To be honest, the Alberta and BC shows were kind of just popped up, and we figured we might as well try to do it. So we weren't able to do everything, but we're excited to do what we are doing and to bring a lot of friends and bands along with us. And that's really how we chose these bands for the most part. I mean, we've been buddies with Carpenter for a while. They're such a great band. And,
totally.
It's been a long time since we played with them. So we figured if we're going to do some shows in British Columbia, might as well see if our buddies Carpenter are available.
It's your birthday. You got to play with who you want to play with.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, I mean, like, the great thing about the position we're in now is that we're able to just bring out friends' bands that we know other people like. You know, because sometimes you want to just bring out bands that you love, but it's like literally your friends that have never played a show, but you've heard their band play and they're awesome.
Absolutely.
And, sometimes that's cool, and other times it's just, why not bring out your friends' bands that have a solid fan base where you're going, you know? We've always been really big fans of Knucklehead and never played a show with them.
Oh my gosh. I spoke with James Gamble yesterday. I interviewed him about that tour coming up for Knucklehead, and they're all really excited to play with you guys as well. I think it's going to be a big party out in the west end of Canada as well for you. So.
Sweet. Yeah, we're psyched. Slates was a band that actually was suggested to us by a lot of close friends.
Oh, they're great.
I know that our biggest fan in the world is from Alberta. His name is Matt Hollington, and he loves Slates. Whenever we see each other, we're talking about some bands and stuff, and then what we're listening to and stuff. And he told me about Slates a year ago or so, and they're really, really good. Actually, our tour manager, Dorian, is like a huge fan of them.
Yeah.
So he was kind of weighing in on it when we were putting the bands together. And I'm glad that those two guys showed me that band, because they're great, and I'm really excited to see them. And then our buddy, Ben Sir, is going to be playing an acoustic set to open the two shows in Alberta.
Yeah.
An old friend of ours. He's probably our best friend in Alberta. And one of our best friends in general. He's so great. We always have such a good time with him. And that'll be cool. As far as all the other bands go, I mean, there's so many more bands to name with the Eastern leg. It's Polar Bear Club and the Menzingers. We all love both of those bands as people and as bands. They're such talented people. And it's going to be cool because I feel like us, the Menzingers and Polar Bear Club, all have our ties together, but have never toured together, the three of us. And it'll be really fun. Also able to invite along a different friends band for every show in Ontario and Quebec, which would be great.
Yeah.
The Snips, we've known for like 10 years, like some of our best friends, incredible fucking band, one of the best bands in Canada.
Oh, I know. I just got their new album.
You know. Some other people don't know.
Absolutely.
Which is unfortunate. People deserve to hear this band, and that band deserves people to hear them, you know?
Yes. Everybody check out the Snips.
They're so good. And that new record they put out, Highs of Low, is
a
perfect record. It's incredible. It's so good.
It's very solid. Very good.
It's so fantastic.
I'm
Snips, Meeting Place, off of their Highs of Low album from a few months back. From 2010's Cavalcade, Flatliners, and Filthy Habits.
Interesting change,
eh? Toronto, ex members of Hostage Life, The Artist Life, Maryland's Vitamins, Bouncer of Providence, The Little Millionaires. The Hunters are playing in Quebec City, who are a band that we've known since they were, I think, 14 years old. Dig It Up is playing in Montreal, and they are just gnarly as fuck. It's so good. So it's a really cool combination of bands, and we're so happy that we can invite a bunch of friends along to do it with us, because that's what it's about, really, at this point. Is just, I feel like we're so far in with the band that we can just kind of play with our friends, and if they'll agree to, and we can have them, and everything can work out, and just enjoy ourselves, you know, and hopefully in the process, people coming to the show supporting these bands also enjoy it.
Absolutely. Recently, you guys wrapped up that Fat Tour with Useless ID, Dead to Me, and Lagwagon. You mentioned that earlier, as well as numerous festivals throughout the summer and the fest. And the last time we saw you out west was about 8 months ago in Calgary, at least. You played an all-ages show and a bar show in the evening. So you guys have been up to quite a bit this year, as well as you went over to Europe, is that right? England?
Yeah, we spent almost the entire summer in Europe.
Right.
Two separate tours, but we were only home for about 2.5-3 weeks in the summer of 2012.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. You guys had a real solid year of heavy touring.
It's really weird because, I mean, and I mean weird this time because our last record came out like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's kind of strange, to be honest. But, I mean, some opportunities were, you know, popped up and we were excited to go for it, I guess. It was, I think this year was busier than last year.
Yeah.
Which is cool. So that's fine. That's totally fine with us.
How was the fest this year?
The fest was great. It was incredible.
How many times have you been?
We were only there for 2 days. Actually, well, really, like 1.5 days.
Oh, yeah.
We showed up in Gainesville at probably like 5 p.m. the Saturday of the fest weekend. We played that night, and then that was the last day of the Useless ID Dead to Me Lagwagon tour. So it was kind of a bittersweet affair, but it was a really, really fun show. And then we did a secret show the next afternoon. Worked very quickly. It was great. We had a blast. And then we proceeded to, I guess, certain members of the band proceeded to get as intoxicated as possible and get really, really emotional during Friends' band set, like Aft Pie and the Menzingers and Yeah. Watching Propaganda was incredible.
Oh, I know. Wow.
Yeah, we had a great time. It was too bad we were only there for so long, but at the same time, it was kind of a blessing in disguise at the same time, because I feel like usually we play like the Saturday or Sunday of Fest, and the Friday night is the big like kickoff, you know? And,
yeah.
I mean, there's not much self-control among the flatliners. It's our own fault, so it's okay.
Absolutely.
You can only be there for a day and a half to just cram it all in, you know?
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you had a really good time there. Short and sweet.
It was great.
Macaretta Boozer.
As the Flatliners, you guys are punk rock, and punk rock is a genre and movement that is firmly rooted in vinyl releases. And you recently released through Fat Records Destroy to create on vinyl again. What brought this on, and why did you choose that specific album? Is it to commemorate the whole 10 years you've been together? Or?
There was some speculation, I guess, like among the members of the band, like as to when we should release it on vinyl, because it had never had a proper vinyl release at all.
Right.
We put the record out on our own in 2004. Stomp Records in Montreal picked it up in 2005 and like put it in stores everywhere. But only on CD, like we were never able to put it out on wax. And we wanted to do it. And there was like talk of us doing it 5 years after it came out, so 2010. And then we were thinking like maybe we'll wait until 10 years after the album comes out to put it out on wax. And we're like, man, that's a long time. People just kept asking, like fans of ours that just kept asking us when is it going to come out on vinyl, and we figured we weren't able to make a new record happen for this year, unfortunately, which was the original plan, but from tours arose, like I said, and we took advantage of those opportunities. So we figured, what better way to celebrate, I guess, like capping off a decade than finally releasing our very first record.
I think it's
never been available before.
It says great thing to give back to your fans that have been there or have recently discovered you and they collect vinyl.
Oh yeah, for sure, for sure. I mean, like, that's the thing. Like, we, like, the four of us, like, you know, we just did it because, like, there was a part of us that always wanted to do it, but the part of us that always wanted to do it was for our fans that have been with us since the very beginning and have been asking for it. You know what I mean? It's specifically for those folks who have been waiting a long time for it, and we really appreciate the patience involved and just the constant support from those folks for our band over the years. It's exciting to see it on vinyl, especially on Fat, because we sent that record to Fat in like 2004, and we got a really, really nice rejection letter from them. so now they put it out on vinyl.
That's fun.
Situation.
Are you going to be bringing some of the vinyl on tour with you, like a small amount to each show?
Yeah, we are. It might be an odd idea, but with the whole Destroy Create vinyl thing, as much as we wanted it to be available to people, it still, I think, is exciting for it to be a limited thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we will have some with us in Alberta. We will have some with us in BC. We will have some with us in Ontario and also in Quebec.
Yeah.
We won't have much because we want it to be something that's kind of sought after, not in the way of, like, we don't want people to be spending too much money on it on eBay or shit like that, because that's just a dangerous kind of weird thing.
Yeah.
But we know it's an old record. We know that it came out a long time ago for us personally, you know. But we do know that there's some people out there that would really like to get their hands on it. So we'll have a few with us here and there. And hopefully everyone that wants it will get their hands on it. And one day, maybe a little while down the road, it'll be easier to get. But right now we kind of want it to be like a fun little challenge for people. kind of just to fuck with people, because we love fucking with people.
Television.
Do you think you'd ever do like a full album tour one day? I know that some bands sometimes come together, like Strung Out did one recently where they played two of their albums, Teenage Suburban Wasteland Blues.
Yeah,
and they did like the back-to-back full, the whole albums. And I thought, would that be something that the Flatliners would consider in the future? Doing a one-off kind of random tour?
Doing that now. There's been one time in the past where we've done like a show playing only Cavalcade. We've done like one show ever doing that, and we did it in Montreal a couple years ago. I can see us doing that again sometime soon in different cities, like just a show. I don't know, but for us to get to the point where we're doing like a record tour, it'll probably be a while because we like to mix it up. You know what I mean? Like it's exciting for us to pull a few songs from each album now, or the 7 inches and stuff. And once we have like a new record out, you know, like it'll be exciting to play a few new songs and then a few songs from each album and just have a cool mix going.
Yeah.
I can't really see us doing something like that until like we really slow down as far as the writing process goes.
Absolutely.
I'm not at all making any slight against any band that does it because I completely adopt it. I think it's a really cool thing. A lot of the bands that do it are bands that have been around for a very long time and have very iconic records that deserve an entire tour based around playing those records.
Absolutely.
And as far as I'm concerned with the band I play in, we're not there. We're not at that point at all if we ever get to that point. You know what I mean? Like, it's never been something that's on our mind. Maybe if, like, fans really bugged us to do it for, like, a long time, then it'd be something that crossed our minds. But no, it's always been fun and exciting for us to just move forward, write some new stuff, release it, and then just play a cool mix of everything.
Speaking of writing new stuff, I hear there's a possibility of an album in the horizon in next year, in 2013?
Yeah, it should be up by the spring in 2013. I can't see it being out later than that. I hope it would be later than that. It's a long-ass time between the albums.
Yeah.
It's too long.
I imagine you've written material for it already. Have you started the recording process at all?
Not exactly. We've kind of toyed with a few things here and there, just kind of working out the kinks, but I can say that we have about 20 songs written for the album.
Okay.
Which is a lot. Probably even too many. But it's always been fun for us to, like, really fuck around and experiment and stuff like that. And then, you know, somehow whittle it down to an album. We have been really busy writing for a while. Like, honestly, like since Cavalcade came out, we've been writing. Again, like I said earlier, it's just that we really hoped to have a new record out in 2012, but some tours came up and that seemed really cool, and they went really well, and we're glad we did them. And honestly, in the end, gave us more time to work on the new record, which is cool. Because I mean, as much as I do believe that it has been too long since we put out a record, I'm glad that it wasn't like we put out a record and then a year after Cavalcade we put out another one just to get it out. You know, like it's always been nice that the four of us see very much eye to eye on the fact that we're able to take our time and wait, and we have a great fan base that will support us and be patient with it. You know.
Absolutely.
Thank you, everyone who has been very patient, because I do believe, I do understand it's been a while. But we're working hard, and it should be out in the spring.
Oh, well, it's something to look forward to. And right now, people can enjoy the vinyl, which is available on Fat Records as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's really awesome. Anything else that you would like to add to the end of our interview to our listeners out there?
Just thank you to everyone for having our backs for the last 10 years. It's been crazy and awesome and so much fun. And we're very proud that we've been able to come to this point, and it's the four of us that are just childhood friends and able to do what we do, just seeing all these places and meeting all these people and having so many great people in our corner just because we play music. It feels really good. And we're very, very appreciative of everybody involved. So thank you very much.
Every time I turn on the TV, click to the news, all I see is a bad day. Happening, people dying, people killing.
news. That's it for this one. Tune in next week for some European interviews from Marcus.